time for Vanessa and Gallant.
That sounds good. I'll have that.
Featuring Vanessa Richardson.
This is not a common opinion. This is not a popular opinion.
And Paul Gallant.
Tom Brady is my Lord and Savior.
On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Vanessa Richardson and Paul Gallant.
0-2 pitch. Swing and a miss. Oh, just a piece. Nelmaldi did not have to make the play because that is a strikeout. He did throw down to first, but I thought he foul tipped it for a second. Either way, ball game over, Blummer. Astros salvage a 5-4 win and take one game in this weekend series.
All right, so the Astros dropped 2 of 3, but yesterday they were able to end on a high note in large part thanks to Ryan Pressly, who was able to pull it together. The Astros get that 5-4 win, as you heard Todd Callis say. Not the best weekend for the Astros. It was against the World Series champions, but it was a fun weekend. It was exciting, at least.
It was a damn good weekend of baseball. I will admit that. But, good God, the amount of stress that I had watching a regular season game, I can't say I felt that a whole lot this year. That is a byproduct, as you said, Vanessa, of playing against the World Series champs. But I did not feel comfortable at any point in those late game situations with an extremely taxed bullpen that has, I guess, thrown 16 and a third innings over that road trip where they finished 3-4 against Chicago and Atlanta. So maybe they're a little taxed.
They're definitely gassed.
They definitely were not making me feel very good, though, too, at the same time. And I feel like you felt the same way.
Oh, my gosh. The pitching is like the one thing that we've really been able to count on with this Astros team. If you remember at the beginning of the season, you were adamant about the fact that they had problems hitting, that the bats weren't getting going, and you were right. Those problems got alleviated a little bit, but now we have Michael Brantley out for the year. We have Yordan Alvarez, who hasn't quite been himself and had some scary breathing situation.
That was weird on Friday.
That really concerned me.
It concerned me, too.
Did he go to the ER? Right?
Yeah, he went to the emergency room, and I guess it was the smoke from the fireworks at the ballpark exacerbated, how about that word, a situation where he was already feeling short of breath. And, he said he saw it as like a sign of God, from God or something like that, too.
Yeah, it's an interesting quote. I would rather them be safe than sorry. But Yordan Alvarez, in general, the health needs to be there for the Astros, I think, to succeed in the postseason.
Oh, no doubt.
And certainly since the All-Star break, it's been dicey. They were able to get the win yesterday, thanks in large part to Kyle Tucker in the eighth inning.
He's been on a roll.
As he hit the ball towards the middle of the diamond, and that ball smoked into right field. Base hit. Yordan Alvarez will score. To third goes Bregman. Ball bobbled in the second. Tucker safe.
Two hits and an RBI, his 82nd of the season for Kyle Tucker. So we're used to seeing this with this Astros team where they're able to put it together thanks to a guy or two stepping up. But it wasn't the best weekend. It was, however, exciting, and as I think you put it best, had some playoff vibes.
Definitely some vibes.
The vibes were immaculate.
All sorts of vibes. Yeah, the vibes were immaculate.
The vibes were bussing for real, for real.
Oh, no. It could have been worse. I mean, they could have gotten their asses kicked in Atlanta. I think what's frustrating is that they had it on the table and that they weren't able to hang on when they had it in both, specifically I would talk about Saturday's game, which I was watching at an El Tiempo and on the edge of my seat. Yes, authentic Mexican food. Right. And in that game, in that moment, I thought to myself this. Anything can happen in baseball's postseason. It's what makes baseball's postseason really special. And you have to remember that it only takes a series of moments like that for them to potentially find themselves on the outside looking in at the playoffs in round two or potentially in the actual World Series. This is a team that they could very well face in the Fall Classic. It's probably between them and the Dodgers. You know, just the Braves have that postseason medal. I know some people are like, oh, well, the Mets, they've been playing a little bit better of late. The Phillies have been hot. But I do think it's going to be the Braves for the Dodgers again in a rematch of a previous World Series. But I guess I feel a little less certain, like it's the Astros' God-given right to make the World Series after a series like this. This isn't me panicking. It's just remembering, oh, yeah, crazy stuff happens. You can lose to the Boston Red Sox, you know, on the way to the World Series.
You can lose to them. Obviously, we saw how the Astros performed the first time around. I guess not the first time around, but against the Oakland Athletics last time they were able to get the sweep. But yeah, I think there are concerns on this Astros team. The injuries are what are concerning to me.
Yeah, they're adding.
And it's nothing, you know, you look at it, okay, it's not like Jose Altuve is out for the year. It's not like either, you know, JV is on the right track. Lance McCullers Jr. looks good. But you have Brantley out for the year. Diaz is going to be out for a few weeks. Altuve had a sore shoulder.
Mauricio Dubon hurt his elbow, but yeah, he's okay.
I mean, the thing with Yordan Alvarez, with the fact that he had right hand soreness twice and then he had shortness of breath, I'm not saying the two are related. I don't know. But I think this Astros team is the best team in baseball. I truly do. But at least, I mean, top three, right?
Definitely top three.
But if they're injured, I mean, that could be the difference in what makes them, you know, less successful in the postseason.
Definitely, yeah. I mean, look, that's all it takes. It's a couple of injuries. And, you know, some people are like, well, if we weren't hurt, it would have been different. Well, but that's not how it works. You have to find your way through them. And I have questions about what they did not do at the trade deadline. James Click should have gotten some outfield depth. And I still have questions about the lineup, which confuses me every single night.
What were your lineup questions? I almost texted you about this weekend. Lineup thoughts from Friday, Saturday, and Sunday.
I guess, on Saturday, obviously they didn't have Yordan Alvarez. But other than that, I thought that they had the ideal lineup on Saturday. And, you know, you think to yourself, well, if this lineup can't score enough runs, then how good is this offense really? And then I saw yesterday's lineup. Okay, it's one thing if you have somebody leading off and you decide to put in Dubon last second, but Dusty Baker clearly likes to lead Mauricio Dubon off. Why? He also likes to put, you know, together a lineup that features Jake Myers at all.
Yeah, he loves Jake. Dusty Baker is a Jake Myers stan, I think the kids say.
Yes. No Trey Mancini.
Shocker.
No Christian Vasquez, which is also a shocker. So those are the constant themes. And I do want to ask Dusty, and I plan on going to tomorrow night's game. I want to ask him, how do you balance clearly what you are prioritizing defensively with what a guy can do at the plate? Like, what is the logic that goes behind it? Because maybe then he'll give us actually some sort of answer. I feel like it's the fair way to ask questions about his lineup decision-making.
Chandler Rome and some of the other beat writers have been mystified by it, to say the least.
I can tell. They look
no
so,
problem saying that.
They seem so annoyed when they tweet about it.
They do not hide it.
They don't make any comments, but it's like, it's not passive-aggressive. It is aggressively
tweeting
about it. It's
like another day without Mancini. All right, Junior has called our show to talk a little Stros. Junior, what's up?
Yes, guys. I'll be having a good morning.
Good morning.
I mainly listen to y'all guys. I rarely play once in a while I called in. And my comment, I guess a question, I'm not saying defend him, but I didn't really have that much of a problem with Dusty. Maybe once in a while here and there, you know, last year, the beginning of the year, but not really that much. But lately, I would have to agree with some of the people about Dusty as far as, to me, two major red flags that weren't acceptable, and I got a lot of heat by some of my friends or whatever, was when he took out Urquidy out in the White Sox game number two. Real early to me, he was just shutting out the White Sox. And then the Saturday game, he had to bring in Presley. I mean, that's as simple as that. I mean, he only had, what, 8 pitches in the 10th. He had to bring in Presley, and then also some of the Yeah, I would agree. There's no excuse to me.
I get where you're going with that, Junior. It's the decision-making when it comes to when to pull a pitcher out. It's when they use specific pitchers, too. It is weird the way that they use Ryan Presley. I'm okay with them, I guess, managing Ryan Presley's innings, if that's what they're doing, before the postseason actually begins. It does feel like that's what they're doing, though. Like, they're keeping the weekend car in the garage as opposed to just rolling it out in a situation where, hey, how about just put your best pitcher into... put your best pitcher into the game and just get the guy out. So I get that. I'd say, though, that my bigger issues with Dusty Baker don't have to do with when a pitcher gets pulled or when a reliever gets used. The lineup is strange to me. He prioritizes defense more than he prioritizes major league hitting. it seems, just based off of the way that he describes how some of these pitchers have their own personal defensive players. And to me, that's just weird.
He's definitely a guy and a manager that goes by his gut, by his old school, what he feels. And there's something about Jake Meyers that he likes, and there's a feeling that he has. Possibly, you know, this is just what it seems like about Trey Mancini, where he doesn't think Trey should play as much. We'll
so
see.
Weird, though.
They do have an off day today, and they play tomorrow, as you said. I believe Carlos Correa and the Twins are
the Minnesota Twins. That'll be interesting to
That'll say. Be fun. All right, coming up on Vanessa and Gallant. Yes, the Texans play the preseason against the Super Bowl champs. Here's how it went. We're going to give you our list of things we were impressed by and unimpressed. And, of course, we want you to call in and let us know what you think as well. That's next.
ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Real fun sports. You're back with Vanessa and Gallant on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5 from the Veritex Community Bank Studios. Here's Vanessa Richardson and Paul Gallant.
All right, the Texans are Super Bowl champs confirmed. I say that because they did beat the Super Bowl champs technically. In
Number
Los
one
Angeles,
in the power rankings. Let's go.
At SoFi Stadium.
On the road, no less.
Yeah, I was going to say, that's strong.
One of the toughest places to play.
Even though the Rams played none of their starters on either side of the ball.
And it's Los Angeles fans.
Correct.
And poor Los Angeles fans, the scoreboard did not work.
Have you ever seen a bigger waste of money? Because I guess that stadium, now I was there for the Super Bowl. I thought it was fine. No, it was cool.
Like, I'm jealous.
It was cool. Like, you should go. It was cool.
I had a chance to go last year.
Was it?
Didn't go.
What? Why?
I was hungover.
Oh, you had a chance to go to the Super Bowl or just
no,
go to
just
the...
to SoFi Stadium. It was the Chargers-Browns game.
It's nice, but is it when you hear the price tag and you realize it doesn't have a roof and you realize...
Doesn't have a roof?
I didn't think it did.
Interesting.
Am I wrong?
Like some
Does SoFi have a roof?
It has a roof.
Okay.
It has a roof that like is supposed. It has lights that like mimic sunlight.
That's right. Okay, so that's why I was thinking it didn't have a roof. But regardless, it's not as nice as you would think it is.
Okay.
Like it's cool, but this didn't surprise me.
Okay.
I'm also on the train of sometimes the cheaper things in life are nicer. But Texans. They won 24-20, fellas,
against the ranked
Super Bowl champs.
Yeah, it's football time in Houston.
With all seriousness, it did get me excited. It was cool to see Davis Mills. I don't know that I was that stoked by his performance, but I do want to just get you guys' initial impressions before we're going to run through what we were impressed by.
I'm going to watch it again. I didn't like it. So I watched the replay of the game on Saturday because I went out to the Incubus concert Friday night.
Oh,
so
did you go?
It was good. Yeah, it was good. It was very good. They're still very good. They put on a show. I did not like just where the offense was because it felt very similar to some of the things that I've seen in training camp. And specifically, there's a lot of short passing that was going on. And then when they tried to throw the ball downfield outside of the one play that, who was it? Philip Dorsett. Right, where it's a ruled incomplete pass and then it was overturned. Like outside of that, it just felt like everything was kind of squeezed into a box. And look, you can't make too much out of the preseason because they're not running real plays. All I will say is if we're talking about a theme that has taken place in Texans training camp, it's that Davis Mills has been throwing a lot of quick hits. And I don't have a problem with that, but when it turns into a bunch of three and outs and then you add a couple of fumbles that they had in there. Yeah, I wasn't thrilled with what I saw from the offense. I don't think it's the end of the world by any means. It's the preseason. But
it's,
I didn't
it was
like
the
it.
Rams twos
yeah.
know, that made the Texans ones not look very good.
Mm-hmm.
We didn't see Damian Pierce play. But yeah, I mean, it wasn't anything that was overly impressive. The offense as a whole, you know, a couple of minutes ago, we see these reporters at training camp tweeting Davis Mills with a, you know, laser to Brandon Cooks. That's great. We need to see some of that in the preseason games. Like you said, it's not like it's real life. Sean, what were your initial impressions of the Texans Rams?
Yeah, I'm shocked that the Rams, I don't know how many people they have on the roster that they can play literally no one I've ever heard of and still like field a football team.
They said on the broadcast there wasn't a single starter.
Yeah, it's very impressive to me. There's a guy named Durant and Kevin Durant tweeted a picture of him saying it's his long-lost cousin. That's about all. And the cool Philip Dorsett catch. That's really what's stuck out to me. Also, I don't get the why are we not playing Dameon Pierce? Like,
yeah,
what's the deal with that?
He's glad
the third,
you said that.
He's third string on the depth chart, so it's not like he's a starter. Like, what are we doing?
You seem like you have some thoughts on this, too.
I
want you to go first.
I do. I was not impressed by that. So let's start with what we were unimpressed by.
Dameon Pierce.
Give a couple of things. I was not impressed by the fact that they didn't play Dameon Pierce. We weren't really given a good reason. He isn't listed as quarterback. If he's listed as QB1 on the depth chart, then yeah, you rest your QB, not QB1, excuse me, as your number one running back, then it makes sense to rest him for the second preseason game. But he's not listed as the top running back.
Well, maybe that was by design.
That could be, because according to reporters out at camp right now, Lovie Smith seems very, very, very confident in Dameon Pierce. I still would like to see more of him.
I'd like to see more of him, but it's selfish.
Correct.
Where in this game, if he's not out there, that's probably a sign that he's further up the depth chart than we think. And if you've been out there, I brought it up a couple of times. Like, he has been the most exciting new player to watch.
He's been a nice surprise.
Yeah. I mean, Jalen Petrie's getting a lot of reps, but Pierce, every time Pierce touches the ball, you get excited. And this was not, think about it from this perspective as well. If you like Rex Burkhead, you're probably not feeling so good about Rex Burkhead after this game, after the fumble.
Does anybody like Rex Burkhead except
Rex
the front
Burkhead.
Office?
I like Rex
you
Burkhead.
You like Rex Burkhead for like the nostalgic reason.
Because he played for the Patriots.
Yeah.
Yes. And he's also a very nice guy.
He's very, I will say this, very nice.
One of my friends worked at a hospital in Boston, and there's this kid that played, this kid from Nebraska, diehard Nebraska fan, and he was very cool with that kid because, of course, he did too. So, but at the same time, you know, this isn't about like who you like and who you don't like. It's about, are you good? And I would say the same thing about Marlon Mack too. I mean, he was out there. He's still in the NFL. Give him credit after bouncing back from a torn Achilles. He was pretty damn good with Indianapolis before he popped that Achilles.
So what were you unimpressed by?
Really, the offense.
The offense. Just
yeah, I mean, I'm with you in that. I selfishly would have liked to see Dameon Pierce, but I think it actually theoretically is a good thing that Pierce did not play. I think that means that we might actually see more of Pierce this coming season than I expected. These depth charts that they put out
checkers.
There, don't get too, you know, I would just speak to the average person that watches them and, like, if maybe you're dire and you're, like, focusing on the depth chart and you're like, oh, this is outrageous. They, like, purposefully misdirect you at times. And the only interesting thing about, like, it would have been something else if the Texans on the depth chart put all the rookies not in first string, too, even though Jalen Petrie and Derek Stingley Jr. are playing. So they're being a little honest with the depth chart. But, yeah, anyway, sorry. I'm speaking forever about this. I think Dameon Pierce is going to play a lot this year.
I hope so.
And I think that's why they kept him out of the game.
Sean, anything you were just blatantly unimpressed by?
I mean, everyone except for Kyle Allen. Everyone on offense except Kyle Allen. Made a good drive at the end of the game.
Hell yeah.
Or no, was that Driscoll? Who cares?
Yeah, exactly.
I don't know who they are.
Neither of these guys are going to play. If they're playing games, the Texan season is ruined. So
I was unimpressed by Ross Blacklock. And I want Ross Blacklock to do well, but he hasn't developed the way that I think that the Texans hoped that he would develop.
No, that's true.
Davis Mills in general, they did lead at the half, thanks in large part to the Dorsett deal. And I think, you know, Nico Collins, who I was impressed
Collins
by.
Collins had a good offense.
So I was impressed by Nico Collins.
Okay.
The Texans' defense in general wasn't a disaster. And if you've covered the Texans the last couple years, you have, I have at various times. It's just nice to see the Texans' defense not be a disaster. Again, these are not the Rams starters. I'm not saying this is indicative of what we'll see.
And it's not the true defensive schemes,
but
you're right.
But it's nice to see them not look like they're pooping the bed all the time.
What did you think of Derek Stingley Jr.? We finally saw him out there. He played, I think Lovie Smith said, around 15 plays. It's nice to see him out there. It's always tricky to watch these games, too, with the camera angles that you get if you're trying to focus on a cornerback specifically. But it's good to see him out there. I think you need as much seasoning as possible this year for him. And honestly, there's a part of me that acknowledges that the more that he gets beat, the better, because it'll make him a better player. Corners have a tough time early on in the NFL. It's very difficult with the changes that come from college to the pros, with the different kind of routes that are run against you, with what you can't get away with. But it was great to see him out there finally, too, because I think there was some concern a couple of weeks ago if he was actually going to play much this year coming off of the surgery.
Marlon Mack, okay, I put him under impressed. This is impressed. Controversial. This is controversial.
Controversial, indeed.
He's coming off an injury. He rushed 8 times for 29 yards. It wasn't like it was some spectacular performance. Mm. Judging by the fact that he's coming off of an injury and the fact that he really wasn't able to do much in Indianapolis and was quite frankly a letdown in Indy, I think that he was at least an interesting addition. This to me is the preseason has just become guys trying to make a roster, yeah. Right? I mean, it's nothing that and actually I heard a couple of the national commentators talking about it, especially the teams that don't do joint practices. And if you guys remember, Lovie Smith said he's like against joint practices. This really is the time that they're trying to see them in action. We did hear from Davis Mills. Now, we've poked a little bit of fun at Davis Mills for saying certain things, certain cliches.
We're going to shock the world.
We're going to shock the world, said Davis Mills. He clarified that this weekend.
To Peter King.
I don't think I need to elaborate too much on it. I don't think the media nationally has given the Houston Texans a lot of attention. I think we know better than anyone else in the building. And I mean, our guys have full confidence in what we're capable of, and we're excited to get rolling with this season.
Hell yeah, dude.
It's just cliche after cliche after cliche.
I think it's a sexy cliche.
If he came out and was like, guys, everyone in this room thinks we're going to stink. So if we're good, and I believe we are going to be good because I have to because I'm the quarterback, I can't think that we stink. It would shock the world if we're good. That's all I'm saying, guys. Like, he should just drop the, like, well, you know, we're going to play hard. I'm proud of the guy. Like, just,
I like it.
Like, by definition, if the Texans are good, it will shock the world.
You guys are just
haters.
It's a great point. You guys are just haters. It's football time in Houston. They just beat the Super Bowl champions, and he just said... No one's talking about the Houston Texans. No one's talking about them.
He is right, though, because now that Deshaun's gone.
Right. What's the point? What are you talking about?
When they do talk about him, it's, God, these guys stink. Look at that roster.
It's like the Texans were not good, but there was also so much off-the-field drama. Like Jack Easterby, that story was the juiciest thing in the entire league, to the point to where when Cal had a press conference, or Nick, one of the two, it was like 12 of the 15 questions were about Jack, and then you had the Deshaun Watson situation and then the remnants of the DeAndre Hopkins trade. Now it's just like they're rebuilding.
You say rebuilding.
Reloading?
I see the eye of the tiger in Davis Mills right now.
The thrill of the fight.
It's just the eye of the tiger. What, we could play some Rocky IV montage, too. You guys are underestimating the Texans, much like Rocky was underestimated after he lost to Clubber Lang in Rocky III. Much like Rocky was underestimated before he fought Ivan Drago in Rocky IV. Much like Rocky was underestimated before he fought the guy in Rocky V.
Yeah.
Much like he was underestimated
in
Rocky Balboa, too. They said he couldn't beat cancer in Rocky VII. He did Rocky.
Rocky 7?
Wait, is there a 7?
It was like Creed.
Yeah.
Oh, Creed.
It was Creed 2, my bad.
Can you take me higher?
Yeah, it's
coming up on Vanessa and Glot, we're going to apparently sing a lot of Creed. We're going to talk about Rocky.
Talk.
But we are going to go around the NFL and talk about the biggest stories as the NFL Countdown segment is next.
This is Ed Tuttle Jones, and you're listening to ESPN 97.5.
The countdown to the NFL season continues with Vanessa and Gallant.
17 days, boys and girls. 17 days until the NFL season, and for that we go to our Jersey consultant, Paul Gallant. Who is your number 17?
I gotta say, 17 didn't have as much of a selection as I thought it would have. Phillip Rivers is the quarterback that I think you have to say, and probably now it's Devontae Adams.
Yeah.
But I think Devontae Adams is a pretty strong case already as being the best number 17 of all time, because we're talking about other guys that aren't, like, particularly good.
Mike Wallace?
Yeah. He's like one of those random wide receivers from Pittsburgh who was, like, really good in Pittsburgh and then left and wasn't the same guy afterwards.
He started the assembly line of receivers that they had.
Jake Delhomme was 17. Josh Allen is 17. That's one too. Okay.
Houston Texans legend and someone who lost a playoff game against the Texans.
Yeah.
Remember when he threw to that fullback in triple coverage? And then he like had the random lateral in that game too. And I remember watching that game, guys, and thought to myself, like, this is just clear. This guy sucks. He's never going to be good. And the turnaround that he's done the last couple of seasons is legitimately mind-blowing.
That's basically the last bad football game he's played.
It is, and I love his story, by the way, because like, old coaches still have DMs of him messaging them like, hey, nobody else will recruit me. Can I come to college or will you take my tape? A true underdog story. I like Josh Allen.
I do.
So that's our 17.
He is growing on me. But he's a Bill, and I'm starting to hate Bills fans.
True.
Because they're all of a sudden like resurrecting.
So the NFL had to admit that it got hacked. Yes, yeah. There was a random Twitter account that had like 300 followers that tweeted out the full memo of the Deshaun Watson decision, probably, 20 minutes before Adam Schefter or Rappaport or whoever
correct
had it. And this guy went on a couple of talk radio shows, including the flagship here locally, and said, yeah, I leaked it. The NFL had to confirm the news, saying, quote, an issue arose during the preparation of the release that was to be published on and distributed via NFLcommunications.com. We have taken steps to ensure this does not happen again. I don't think this guy's getting enough credit for the fact that he had it first.
I don't either. But of course, you know how it works. When you are not Adam Schefter and not Ian Rappaport, they are going to ignore you if you are not someone prominent enough to call them out.
They were doing that for a while when Pat McAfee started, and
yeah,
Pat wasn't necessarily breaking news. Pat was talking directly to the athletes.
And then they were saying
and then they would say, sources tell me so-and-so, and Pat's like, I tweeted that an hour ago when I got it straight from the person.
Here's what the guy did. His Twitter account is at Pisteris Sports. So he has 500 followers now. Yeah, you're right.
It didn't grow as much as I thought it would.
He's not getting nearly enough credit for what he ended up doing there, but the way that he was able to essentially hack into the NFL's mainframe was this. He fooled around with the NFL site, found a security problem, told the NFL how to patch the issue. He checked the communications site, went into folders, and used Discord servers. It's pretty funny that it just took things that like your average video game streamer could do to find out that Deshaun Watson was getting suspended for that amount of games before the NFL could announce it.
Well, we don't usually talk about the other radio stations, but when he went on the flagship, one of the things that I wrestled with when I was listening to it was like, well, was it like quote unquote unethical? But then he's not a journalist. He works in IT. He works the night shift. So you know what? And he gave the NFL the chance. He told them and they did not listen.
Other Deshaun Watson news. I'm in a fantasy football league. We did a draft yesterday.
Okay.
Someone drafted Deshaun Watson late because it's a keeper league. So we forced him to shotgun to White Claws.
Oh, because
was that
he
an acceptable
drafted
punishment? Yeah, we were all like, oh, canceled.
I would say he would have to shotgun them while singing Creep by Radiohead on karaoke.
Okay.
Yeah.
I like
and,
that.
And he's banned from any outside massages outside the team building for
right
at least a year.
That is true.
If he can apply for reinstate.
If he comes in last, he has to go out in public wearing just a small towel.
There we go.
Okay. I like it.
You know
like
what?
It.
You know what, though? Towards the end of the season, he may have a little bit of a...
Oh, yeah, I agree. We're all thinking it.
It is really a dilemma of like, should I? Shouldn't I? At what round? But I know my friends. They're scumbags. They're going to draft him in, like, the sixth round. So, like, he might go, after Mahomes and Lamar and Josh Allen. Then it'll be Watson. And I'm like, then I can just play the moral high road, be like, you're a scumbag. I was never – he was off
yeah,
my board.
He was off my board for character.
But if he was, like, 15th round?
Oh, yeah, in a keeper league, too. It's the end of the draft, and you can have him next year and have him as, like, your 17th round pick. Yeah, it gets a little dicey. You know, you can be an NFL GM like Andrew Berry in that moment, too, and just be completely compromise your morals.
And I can't wait to be like the other 31 GMs to be like,
hell
this
yeah,
is disgusting.
Dude.
This is disgusting, yeah, even though we all inquired about him. There was a cut block on first-round pick Kayvon Thibodeau.
Yeah.
And it put him out of the game. Now, it looked really bad at first. He did walk off on his own power. But it's caused a little bit of a controversy among NFL players. You have Darius Butler and others saying that it was a dirty play. And then you also have Andrew Whitworth, who obviously played for a long time, who said that this block is literally only taught this way. Actually watch tight ends get downgraded and chewed out for staying up on these plays. That's why I didn't like the word cowardly, which some people were using. This Emmanuel Acho, our one play trafen. This young man is trying to make the team. He just did what he was taught. What did you guys think?
It's a legal play. Brian Daboll, who is the head coach of the New York Giants afterwards, said it's a legal play. Yeah, it looks bad, but guess what? You are allowed to do that. And I'll also say this. I mean, it's not like it came out of nowhere for Thibodeau. I mean, this guy was in front of Thibodeau, dropped low, and I don't think it was a dirty play. look, it's a violent sport, and this is sometimes how the only way that you can block a guy who is bigger than you. I think it was a tight end who was doing it. Tight ends are smaller than defensive linemen, defensive ends, and if you are in a situation where you're trying to make a roster, what, you're not supposed to go
totally
down
agree.
And block the guy? It sucks. I mean, it's but this is the sport. It's a violent sport. You can't take all the violence out
also,
of it.
Also, there's already so many rules that we don't need people questioning illegal play.
Yeah. To me, once I saw that basically every former defensive player was upset and every former offensive lineman was like, no, that's just a cut block. Like, and I think what Paul said was right on. That, like, it wasn't like he came in, he wasn't looking, it was blindside. Nope, he was squared up in front of him and made a cut block. That is just, you know, it's just a thing that happens in football.
Yeah.
Did you guys see the preview of the new Fox Sports number one crew? We had Sean Payton on the field. Aaron Andrews was with Greg Olson and Kevin Burkhardt. I thought it was good. I thought it was solid. One of the things that Jay Glazer said on that pregame show for the Ravens Cardinals on Fox
last
was,
night.
Last night.
Yeah.
Yeah. Was that
weird seeing a Fox game at night?
Huh?
It's weird seeing a Fox game at night.
Yeah, it is weird, and it was weird. Like
I was like, what?
It's like you still expect Troy and Joe to pop up.
Yeah, that too.
But
yeah.
I thought Sean Payton did a good job. Like he wasn't awkward. I thought that it was. But Jay Glazer, of course, is always trying to flex the knowledge, and he reported last night that Baltimore has offered Lamar Jackson more money than the Cardinals agreed to pay quarterback Kyler Murray. Glazer added that the 5-year fully guaranteed contract by the Browns to quarterback Deshaun Watson complicated matters. I think we all knew that last part.
Yeah, I mean, that's why Biscotti talked about it right afterwards, the owner of the Ravens, when that contract was given out. Like, every NFL owner is pissed off that contract was given, and I bet they're not very thrilled either that Deshaun Watson's going to get just about all of that contract. If you are Lamar Jackson, I totally understand why you would seek it. I know there are a lot of people out there that are going to say he's not worth it, but that's not how this works. If you're a quarterback and a guy gets a contract and you have more on your resume than that quarterback who gets the contract, you are going to ask for more. And it is expected of you by the Players Association that you will ask for more than what the last guy got. So because the Browns broke the system, that's, I think, why we are at this impasse. Say what you want about Lamar Jackson. He's won an MVP. He has more of a right to earn more than Deshaun Watson, or earned Deshaun Watson's contract.
Did you guys see his outfit
Watson.
Last night?
I did not know.
Okay, he had his hair. Did you see this? He had his
was
like his
fetch?
Hair down, big chain on, and then sunglasses on the whole game. I got to tell
yeah.
you, he looked cool.
Hell yeah.
He looked like he didn't give a you know what.
Kyler Murray, meanwhile, while calling plays on the sideline, looked like...
Right?
I did not know his afro could go that far out. It was very... Oh. It was very voluminous.
It was very voluminous. It was a different hairstyle. But he, from what people said, did okay calling the plays. If you guys remember, there was the whole thing with Cliff Kingsbury saying, if it's so easy, you do it.
Yeah. They made
right
some,
after they made him do homework.
They had a couple of nice drives at the end of the game. I got to say, though, I was so confused. So I had the game on, and I was watching House of the Dragons on the TV below. And I'm not going to spoil anything. All I will say is that I wasn't paying as much attention to the preseason game. But it was so confusing seeing the Ravens playing a team that was wearing black helmets
yeah.
and black jerseys. And there are multiple times where I was like, wait, who's winning? But the Ravens won, and their preseason winning streak has continued.
22.
It's
why
insane.
Do they also, why, is that Breaking Bad? Another Breaking Bad sequel?
No, this is a Game of Thrones spinoff.
Oh.
House of the Dragon is a Game of Thrones spinoff. Better Call Saul was, and ended
Got
on Monday,
it.
Was the Breaking Bad spinoff. And hopefully there will be another Breaking Bad spinoff.
Panthers rookie quarterback Matt Corral has suffered a Lisfranc injury.
Oh,
I don't know
no.
how you say that.
The Matt Schaub injury.
Yeah, it is likely season ending. Bummer.
That sucks.
Not like it's their QB one, but it's
yeah.
a bummer for any rookie.
I'd rather have Corral as my backup than Sam
That's a
Darnold.
Great point. All right, coming up on Vanessa and Gallant. It was an interesting weekend at the ballpark for the Braves and for the Astros, but there was another storyline, and we're going to play some of the audio next. But first, Paul's going to tell you about PIN.
Let me tell you about the Passive Investor Network. They're a full-service real estate consulting firm that can basically get you and your family all of your goals. Here's what they do. They sit down with you, a portfolio advisor, and they go over a 5-year plan that works for just you. After that, they take all of the hassle of home ownership out of your hands and take care of it for you. You're still making money passively, but they take care of finding the homes and parts of town to invest in. They take care of the construction, and you get to see the construction of the property that you're investing in on the Passive Investor Network app. Every single day, you get new pictures of the progress that is being made. And then after that, once all the construction is done, they take charge again. They find people to live in your home. You just invest. They do the rest. It's the Passive Investor Network. PassiveInvestor.net is where you go. Talk to them and schedule a free consultation with a portfolio advisor. Again, a free consultation. You got nothing to lose. Go to PassiveInvestor.net and tell them ESPN 97.5 sent you. It's the Passive Investor Network.
Stay up to date with the latest innovations hitting the city of Houston by visiting InnovationMap.com or follow them on any of your social media platforms. Just search Innovation Map. Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's Vanessa and Gallant on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Not the best weekend for the Astros against the Braves, but they were exciting games.
Right.
And they got the win on Sunday.
Playoff vibes, am I right?
Bussing for real.
The vibes were vibing.
Was it a core memory?
See,
I'm just triggering Paul this morning.
If it's a core memory, it is a, the Astros lost in the World Series to the Braves. The Braves will be a tough out if the Astros go up against them. And it does not feel like a foregone conclusion that the Astros are going to win the World Series after a weekend like this.
Yes, true. Do you guys remember when Reese Witherspoon, they caught her on camera saying, "Do you know who I am?"
No.
It was a couple years ago.
And it was in real life. This wasn't her from Sweet Home Alabama with an accent.
This was like a real thing where she's like, "Do you know who I am?" Every now and then we get "Do you know who I am?" moments. And when they're caught on camera, we know that wealthy and powerful and famous people say this, but when you hear it, it's so cringe. And that's what we heard from Marcell Ozuna on a DUI arrest video.
Sorry.
You're good. I'm Officer Bulldog, Norcross Police.
I'm Ozuna from the Braves. Sorry, my dog.
That's all right.
I'm Ozuna from the Braves. my dog. Yo, Vanessa, I'm Paul Gallant from ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Sorry, my dog.
Have you ever flashed that? Be honest.
I did once say that, and I felt like such a douchebag
afterwards. Give me the scenario.
I wasn't allowed into a bar because I was wearing shorts. And it wasn't like they were bad shorts. That's what bothered me. And I was like, these shorts are like $80. Are you serious, dude? It was the bougiest moment.
And you're like, David Gow doesn't have a problem finding these shorts on the radio.
This was when I was at the ESPN flagship.
So you say to them,
I was 25. Like, there was this, and it was this, and I remembered, as soon as I said it, I was like, I'm never doing this again. I don't want anyone to ever recognize me in public either.
So you said, I'm
terrible.
Paul Gallant from
in No, I said, like, you know what? Like, I said, I work on the radio. Are you serious?
Ooh.
Yeah, that was bad.
That does not, I'll also say, especially about how you're dressed, dropping, I'm on the radio, it doesn't move me, seeing how, like, people
Fair
on
enough.
The radio dress.
I still think it's outrageous that we have bars here in Houston that don't let people in because they're wearing shorts. It's 100 bleeping degrees outside.
That's true.
Get over yourself.
You could be right, but also, just, it's not good evidence.
No,
being like,
I'm right.
I know what dressing up looks like. I work on the radio.
I work at the radio, yeah.
Oh, yeah, that's true. Yeah,
did she let you in, though? Did it work?
No, it didn't. No.
Yeah?
The guy was like, you serious? Like, the way he was so dismissive of me, I was like, yep, I deserve that.
Yep,
I deserve that entirely. I felt bad, too. Like, I actually, went back. Like, we walked down the street, and I went back to the guy, and I was like, yeah, I'm sorry I did that. He's like, yeah, it's cool, man.
I have never done it except for... Now, but this is an interesting situation. So, women need bags. We need purses. We need whatever. If you go to a game,
you have the clear bag.
You have to have the clear bag. Well, I came in as media because I was covering a certain game, but then I was off the clock because I had worked morning and afternoon. And so I went down to a section of this arena to see some friends, and I had my purse with me. So the person's like, you can't have a purse. You have to have a clear bag. And I said, oh, I'm media, and it has a tag on it. I even felt bad doing that, even though the usher was you're right.
That's fine.
Yeah,
in that moment, it's like I felt cringe, as the kids say.
You shouldn't feel cringe. What I did was cringe.
That was totally normal.
What you did.
Also, if I was on like Channel 2, I would 100% drop it all the time. It speaks highly of you that you never did.
Thank you.
Because I would be like, as seen on TV, Sean. Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
I think we can all agree, though, should we be in a situation like Marcell Ozuna was in, you probably don't want to call attention to the fact that you are someone famous
in
that moment,
too. He literally kept talking. Like, you can hear him on the clip say, "I'm Marcell Ozuna." He goes, "Okay, buddy, can I get your ID and all
yeah,
that?"
Yeah.
Didn't faze him at all.
If he hadn't said his name, and look, I guess I'm trying to do some, like, Better Call Saul-esque tactics here.
Rusty
Let's hear
Harden.
It. But yeah, you got to do the accent.
You don't want to tell people that you are someone of note, because then the video is going to get leaked publicly because some inquiring mind will find it, and then they will post it online.
Yeah, that is how all of the DUI arrests of the rich and famous come out.
So as part of, like, so when he handed the ID, he also handed his, he handed his Georgia driver's license
and that
or
was,
whatever state driver's
I think it was
license.
His Players Association card.
Yes, and then he his, like, official, like, "I am an MLB player" card.
It,
like,
just doesn't work
it.
Anymore. And you know what? Part of it is body cams. Mm-hmm. Because, honest to God, like, I've heard so many stories about back in the day about how many things that athletes used to get away with, but police are wearing body cams now. The Braves announcers, though, the Braves radio announcer, Ben Ingram, had a good time with it this weekend and poked fun at it.
So here is Ozuna from the Braves.
I'm Ozuna from the Braves, man. Hey, my dog. I'm Ozuna from the Braves. That's fantastic. That's about as much shade if you're working for a flagship as you're going to be able to throw at one of your players. But he deserves it because it's not just this incident for Marcell Ozuna. If you go back in time, you also, like, I think there was an assault charge or something
was,
like that within the past year. So
because
I
remember there was Ozuna here in Houston.
Roberto Ozuna.
And then Ozuna here. And I remember, like, seeing the story and wondering if they were related, but it's spelled differently. So
I wish, I don't remember the reception that Ozuna got when he first came here. I do remember that the Ozuna trade led to one of the more awkward moments of radio of my career, where I watched two men yell at each other and just sat by while one of the co-hosts called the other guy unbearable 12 times. And
can't even imagine
30 seconds
who those guys were.
Yeah, I don't know who they are.
Yeah, no idea. it is time for our In Case You Missed It segment.
Ooh.
Oh, we got a drop.
Jaunty elevator music.
I like this. This was your idea, Paul. Shout out to you for the
Thank
music.
You.
Is this from It's Always Sunny?
Yes, It's Always Sunny's soundtrack.
They do have a good,
incredible.
I believe they call it a score.
Score, yes. It's like Hans Kleesing.
Lauren Baxley is the only person who sued Deshaun Watson who has not settled.
Mm-hmm.
And over the weekend, she said that it was because she doesn't feel like he has shown any contrition at all. I think that may be an underrated storyline and something we're not talking about enough, if we can see where that goes. But I digress. You brought up something about an agent from the firm representing Deshaun Watson
made
a strange comparison.
And he deleted it because I went back on Twitter to see what it was. But he did a really interesting version of whataboutism.
Yeah.
And
this was not good.
Essentially, what he said here was, yeah, hey, Deshaun Watson did some bad things. But you know who else did bad things? Jeffrey Epstein and his wife. Why is no one talking about them? And I just started thinking to myself, oh my God, this is an incredible case of whataboutism, which we knew was going to happen. But of all the people to pick, you pick the person who has, like, two documentaries on multiple streaming platforms about how creepy they were.
You could get into Robert Kraft. You could get into any of the myriad of celebrities, from Dustin Hoffman to others who have had accusations made and then not really ever brought up again, because it was you could go a lot of different directions. Instead, you chose the one that everybody actually paid attention to.
He said, where was that anger and outrage? Children matter too.
It was there.
Where's the uproar? The guy's name is Andre Odom. And Andre Odom, I guess, was a part of the team that was trying to negotiate the contract for Deshaun Watson. Yeah, he's an agent at that same firm.
Watson's whole camp.
Right.
Just from the beginning. I don't understand.
It is so hilarious on two fronts. A, being like, why is no one talking about the most famous, like, criminal, I don't know, the last 10 years to 20 years, the Epstein and Maxwell cases, never mind the conspiracies afterwards. And then also, if you're Deshaun, you're like, hey, I get you're trying to help me out. Don't compare me to those two people. Like,
yeah,
right.
Literally the only two
Great
worst
point.
People you could compare me to.
Yeah, you're supposed to be on my side here.
What's the deal with Hitler? No one's talking about him.
Yeah, it's like saying when somebody says a song is underrated and you're like, that's the band's number one song.
Yeah.
What are you talking about?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Why is nobody talking about Jared Fogle?
Are you... Hey, we're still sensitive about that in Indiana.
I forgot. That was
Quinn
in Indiana.
Ewers, thoughts, starting QB,
and
baby.
Jackson. What? Yeah.
Starting quarterback at UT.
He definitely should be because at the very least, you need to know how good he is for if Arch Manning takes
there
the job next year.
I got to say, he is a vibe. That mullet.
Are the vibes mood. Immaculate?
Oh, this guy, he is a look.
I mean, love a good mullet. I went out with a guy that had a mullet a couple weeks ago.
You know what? Mullets are back.
They are,
baby. I think mullets look good. I'm not going to lie.
Business in the front, party in the back.
Party in the back. But yeah, Quinn Ewers is the starting quarterback for UT. And I kind of like that they got a quarterback that's got some, I don't know, Gardner Minshew vibes.
Yeah.
He has an NIL deal with like an Austin-based like rodeo or something.
Hell
like
yeah.
That. It's like bull riders or something. Oh. He did a very weird let's ride video.
Into the let's ride deal. I do love
now
a good business in the front, party in the back. And if you want to party this season, tell your friends about BUSR.
Whoa.
Football season right around the corner. Baseball in full swing. BUSR.com/ESPN. You can double your deposit within the first 24 hours. Do you have an NFL futures bet that you know will cash in? The Texans, by the way, have an over-under set at 4.5 games right now. Do you think they're going to win more? Maybe you're a hater. Maybe you didn't like what you saw from Davis Mills. By the way, you can still get the Stros at plus 400. All you have to do, guys, is go to BUSR.com/ESPN. And good news, if you're more of a blackjack girl or a roulette type of guy, it's there, too. They have everything you could want. Right now, take out your phone, take out your computer. I don't care if you're at work. Do what I say. BUSR.com/ESPN.
ESPN 97.5.